Last month, actress Ashley Judd made an appearance on TV plugging her new series. And the response, or should I say backlash, was immediate.
Actress Ashley Judd has sparked plastic surgery rumors as she recently appeared with a rather puffy face.
The 43-year-old's face seems noticeably fuller.
Some serious plastic surgery rumors. The 43-year-old appeared to have pillow face. Another plastic surgery butcher job?
All right, this week Ashley Judd penned a Daily Beast article about those comments, about her appearance, about her so-called puffy face and the media's obsession with it. Judd writes, she chose to address the criticism because it was, quote, misogynistic and embodies what all girls and women in our culture to a greater or lesser degree endure every day in ways both outrageous and subtle, end quote. And she's not just talking about herself. She goes on to call for a new dialogue about female body image. She says, again quoting, the current dialogue is constructed so that our bodies are a source of speculation, ridicule, and invalidation, as if they belong to others, and in my case, to the actual public. The insanity has to stop, because as focused on me as it appears to have been, it is about all girls and women. Joining us to talk about this, Mary Elizabeth Williams, staff writer for Salon, and also Cindy Gallup, an advertising consultant and former chairwoman of the advertising agency BBH. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
We could probably spend the whole morning talking about this.
Oh, yes.
But I wonder, let's deal with something right away, which is the idea that this is a celebrity, and to that extent, she shouldn't be complaining about focus on her appearance. I mean, that she, right? I mean, why is she balking over any kind of PR?
I think what Ashley Judd was pointing out, and what I think was really beautiful about what she did and that she had the courage to do, was that she was taking issue with the idea that people were saying things like, she's not as pretty as she used to be, and what happened to her? And as she said, what happened is she's not the person she was when she made her first film in the early 90s. She's not
aging.
20 anymore.
Yes,
she's aging.
Yeah.
She looks different. And the fact that immediately, and as she said, without consulting her, without asking any of her representatives what happened, is there something going on, they just immediately went into lengthy speculation about her looks and this kind of just negative taking you down, this chipping away that we see at every woman, not just in the public eye, but women in general. It is sickening. And I think you can celebrate beauty, you can have a living being a beautiful woman, but at a certain point you do have to say, there's got to be more to the conversation than am I fat, am I thin, am I old, have I had work done. If that's the sum of your life and your career, there's something really sick and toxic about that.
And we're not going to deal with why she appeared puffy or not, because honestly, it's really beside the point and none of our business. But Cindy, to a certain extent, and Ashley Judge points this out, women participate in this obsession with looks. Women are often the first to criticize each other. Women make tons of money celebrating their own beauty, celebrating their own looks, taking others down a notch. This is a money-making business, right?
Well, answer the first part of that first. Everything in life starts with how you feel about yourself. And as women, from the moment we are born, everything around us unfortunately conspires to make us feel insecure about absolutely everything to do with ourselves, about how we look, how we dress, how we talk. You know, nice girls do this, nice girls don't do that, in a way that doesn't apply to men as much. And so I think what's happening with Ashley is very much a demonstration of the truth. We do not see things as they are, we see things as we are. And when we feel insecure about ourselves, we take it out on other people. That's why she identified. Unfortunately, a lot of this came from women in the first instance.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing to me is that my industry, the advertising industry, together with the fashion and beauty industry, is obsessed at the moment with social media. They are completely overlooking a fundamental social trend, which is that many, many women no longer aspire to the things that all of those industries hold up as aspirational, particularly Generation Y women, 18 to 30-year-olds, who are questioning exactly the paradigm you're talking about and who would actually welcome a move on the part of the media and popular culture to represent women as they really are and in a very healthy way.
And I think we are seeing that, you know, as part of this conversation that Judd says she wants to start. You know, the upside of it is we have in the last few years seen magazines do covers of women who are not wearing makeup, saying we're not going to Photoshop, we're going to use less Photoshop. We've seen the advertising industry crack down harder on cases of extreme Photoshopping and augmentation, because audiences always respond very positively to these things. You know, when you have women of different sizes and different ages represented in the media, women as consumers tend to really love that. There
but,
is an audience
isn't there
for
a,
that.
Isn't there a young audience that watches E! And TMZ and these celebrity channels that are something fundamentally different from the kind of journalism that's broadly in the media?
Absolutely. And there is parallel to that kind of positive response. There is this culture of 24/7, round-the-clock, relentless meanness and snarking because there's a void to be filled. There's an endless void to be filled with that kind of scrutiny.
And it becomes a problem when you have daughters, at least, at trying to protect them from that. But it has become an international conversation, Cindy, and I wonder if you think it's because of social media that you were talking about. We saw in Israel they've banned Photoshopped or too skinny models, I should say, in Israel, in advertisements there. I know that there's a big uproar in the UK over the issue of whether or not this size 12 model is too fat to be a plus-size model, which seems ridiculous to me. Is social media bringing about these sort of conversations?
Absolutely. I think that that's the wonderful thing, that social media is spreading this conversation. And I also think the wonderful thing about what Ashley Judd has done is, you know, in terms of that, we've always been fixated with celebrities. We always will be,
yes.
You know, everyone's fascinated. And so celebrities today wield more power than ever before precisely because anything they say goes out on social media around the world. And I would love to see more celebrities like Ashley Judd absolutely using that to start really important conversations and really important dialogues about precisely these issues. They can be enormously influential in really changing the world to make us all feel better about ourselves.
What they say on social media, though, doesn't necessarily match their actions. They're still dieting until they become very, very thin. Many of them lose work if they become so-called overweight, which means they put on 5 or 10 pounds. This is a conversation that we all know comes up year after year after year. And you have to wonder, Mary Elizabeth, when's the tipping point? When do these conversations become change?
I don't think there is one tipping point. I think what we see and what I hope we see, God, as a woman myself and as a mother and as a person who is a part of this species, I would like to see these smaller changes. I like to see that women are getting involved in the conversation. I love that Ashley Judd called out women on the misogyny of this kind of endless nitpicking and scrutiny. I don't think it's a case of suddenly we're all going to throw up our hands and give up on meanness. That's part of culture. And the other thing is, I think we can have, you know, in a story that I wrote this week for Salon.com, I said we can have conversations about aging and weight and beauty and the scrutiny of media of women. We're going to keep having those conversations, but to do them in a way that really is a conversation, that isn't just, look at her, she's so fat.
But what I find really interesting about all of this is that it is concurrent with a move which I try and help as much myself as a rampant feminist, which is to champion women in business and to challenge male-dominated industries, companies and environments, because it isn't until the Hollywood studio system changes and sees a damn sight more women at the top, more women actually running the fashion and the beauty companies, which are all male-dominated as well, ironically, even though they sell to women, actually, we need male management who all too often default to a shorthand for selling to women to understand and to be impacted by women's views on what we really want to see and aspire to.
And we definitely want you listeners to get to come into this conversation. When you look in the mirror, who do you compare yourself to? Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post at thetakeaway.org with your thoughts. I want to read what Ashley Judge said about this. She says, "This abnormal obsession with women's faces and bodies has become so normal that we, I include myself at times, have internalized patriarchy almost seamlessly. We are unable at times to identify ourselves as our own denigrating abusers or as abusing other girls and women." Are we abusing other girls?
I think that's out there. And I know that I, as a parent and a person, really have to consciously work every single day, every time I watch a movie with my children or every time we go out in public, to not do that, to not participate in that, to take a step back. And when I look in the mirror and I'm getting dressed around my kids, to not say, oh, I don't like how my hair looks today, or oh, my eye looks so tired, or whatever, to just kind of stop. And it takes work, it takes effort, because we have internalized it. And I think the challenge, first and foremost, is to stop externalizing it and see where that leads us.
Make the outer monologue inner.
Absolutely.
To begin. Mary Elizabeth Williams, staff writer for Salon, and Cindy Gallup, advertising consultant. Thank you both for a conversation that could continue, and I hope does.
Oh, yes.
Thank you so much.
Pleasure.
And what is the message to young girls there? Mary Elizabeth Williams picks up that idea. How do you put this message in young girls who are getting this message about body image from the media? Listeners are responding to this story and this conversation. When you look in the mirror, who do you compare yourself to? This listener from Stillwater, Oklahoma, texted us. I try to stay fit, but I know my personality counts more when dealing with people. Here's from Fort Lauderdale. I don't get too hung up on the mode look. I want to be fit and healthy and encourage my daughter to do the same. What is your message to a young girl in this environment thinking about the Ashley Judd story? And if you want to get an early jump on any of the conversations in this program, you get a text a day. We'll send you a question and you can be on the next day's show. All you have to do is text the word START to 69866. That's START, 69866. I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.